We're in a decade where diversity, equity, and inclusion are what defines everything from art to employment policy. Today on A Chalarondo, DEI in music 100 years ago. Also, some overlooked aspects symphony orchestras need to consider. Plus, we're all in this. Maybe you'll get some new ideas about how musicians can effectively contribute to the social justice movement. Welcome, music lovers. This is A Chalarondo, a podcast of ideas and stories all about music. My name is Paula Tuttle. I'm a cellist, creator of Chambersite, producer of concerts, and this podcast. We'll explore behind the scenes the professional life in music, but the podcast is for anyone curious about music and musicians' careers. Share this with anyone you think would enjoy exploring the music world. By now, everyone is aware of curriculums to promote diversity through the arts and culture. Some are focused on areas that are underrepresented, like female composers and conductors. There's a wave of interest in world music, presenting music from around the world. At home, we can empower our own communities by playing works by African American and Native American composers, as well as persons of LGBTQIA. We can perform their works and present more artists from these cultural groups. In 2016, the University of Pittsburgh announced the Year of Diversity Initiative. The Pitt community was asked to create projects promoting diversity and inclusion. I partnered with my colleague, clarinetist Mary Beth Malik, and soprano Lily Abreu, and we started the Diamante Trio with Lily Abreu. Lily is a Brazilian soprano and specializes in both classical music and Brazilian pop music. All three of us teach at Pitt and perform at the Pittsburgh Opera. So when we premiered our CD, the opera graciously agreed to be our host. We play all genres of Latin American music and, as I just mentioned, produced a CD in 2018. We also produced several videos in 2020. We often collaborate with the Pitt Center for Latin American Studies and a nonprofit that serves the Latin American community in Pittsburgh, Casa San Jose. Our group includes Venezuelan-born Juan Jaramillo, Maureen Conlin from Mexico, Sandro Leo Sebastian from Cuba, and of course Lily Abreu from Brazil. This project was for the community, but it helped open my worldview and especially my knowledge of Latin America. Playing entire programs of music by composers like Villa-Lobos from Brazil, Gina Stera from Argentina, and many others from Mexico and Peru seemed to bring me closer to the people and the cultures. And Lily singing the lyrics in Spanish and Portuguese and hearing her soft accent when speaking made us all feel like we were part of a cultural experience in a country south of the equator. You know, classical musicians like myself are brought up on a heavy dose of European and Western music. But diversity and variety of cultural styles is actually intrinsic to all music. It can be found in European music too. Let's consider Antonín Dvořák. A lot of A Chalarondo listeners are familiar with the Czech composer Antonín Dvořák. He was well known for absorbing folk influences from his country into a symphonic tradition. It's probably what made him stand out and receive wide praise among his contemporaries like Brahms. So maybe you already knew this, Dvořák brought this idea of incorporating folk music and a nationalist flavor to American music. After he became extremely successful, he was invited to become the director of the National Conservatory of Music of America. In 1892, he moved to New York City at the invitation of Jeanette Thurber, a philanthropist and classically trained violinist who funded many musical endeavors, including the debut of the Boston Symphony, the American Opera Company, and the National Conservatory of Music. Jeanette Thurber was an amazing woman. She championed women's rights and diversity. She invited women, people of color, and many individuals with handicaps to her school and to play in the conservatory orchestra. One of her most important missions was to develop an American sound in the traditional orchestra style. She chose Dvořák for this endeavor because he had achieved this in his home country. At first, Dvorak declined the offer, but when his wife Anna found out he was being offered 25 times what he was making at home, he was thus compelled to take the offer. So off he went to America. Dvorak's marching orders were to teach composition to a group of young composition students and in the process discover and develop the American sound. While in America, he wrote three of his most famous works, the Cello Concerto, the New World Symphony, and the American String Quartet. All three incorporate spirituals of African Americans and music inspired by Native Americans, what Dvorak considered to be authentic American folk music. So ultimately, Dvorak was sent home when the other blue bloods on the board of the National Conservatory learned that he was promoting these idioms to be the American sound. Perhaps these people expected Dvorak to look towards Yankee Doodle or John Philip Sousa for the true American music, but no. Dvorak would look to the music of the oppressed, the indigents, the natives, the music that had real pathos, folk music that shows deep emotion, and this is where he discovered the heart and soul of America. This is what he taught his composition students before he was fired and sent packing back to his home in Europe. And though none of his actual composition students became famous, the students of those students, or his grand students, if you will, did indeed create the American sound. Some of those students you'll recognize: George Gershwin, Aaron Copland, Duke Ellington. Thurber and Dvorak both had a deep compassion for the underserved, more so than many of their contemporaries. Diversity is a subject that keeps coming back to us. It hasn't ever really gone away, it's just cyclical. It progresses by swinging back and forth, but slowly getting to the correct place. And you can count on that kind of change in everything from the weather to the stock market. A correction, a regression to the mean, or whatever best explains it. In the 2020s, we're seeing a movement to correct a lack of diversity, even though Americans are being pulled in several directions. Sometimes when change is inevitable, small steps are most useful. So speaking of small steps, in an article in Neoclassical by Holly Mulcahy, the concertmaster of the Wichita Symphony, she writes about the audition lists for major symphony orchestras, saying they don't reflect the same DEI statements of the organization. The lists include Beethoven, Mozart, Brahms, Mahler, you get the idea. Nothing from living composers, women composers, people of color, or any form of diversity, equity, and inclusion standards. Arts organizations are being held to DEI standards like these every day. They have statements on their websites, in their email blasts, and on their letterheads, and in their advertisements. A nod to underrepresented groups of composers on an audition list seems like a pretty easy way to signal an organization is on board with inclusion. If we as a society are going to recognize global music, women composers, and people of color in every walk of life, we can't say this part of the world is an exception or because we've always done things this way. That pretty much sounds like the way we got into the mess we're in, meaning not including everyone. But a better takeaway is this: small efforts are the ones that get noticed. A female composer on an audition list does a great deal to promote the idea of diversity. So as a musician, we should include all the best music, explore the edges, and bring it to your programs. Promote awareness, develop worldview. The stage is your pulpit, and it's our job to enlighten and include. There are lots of types of music we can play that are diverse and fun, and your audiences will appreciate the music, the message, and begin to see the world as a place to find wonderment and joy. The organization Casa San Jose is a nonprofit and a light to the Latin American community. I know some of the lawyers doing pro bono work for Casa San Jose. They help people that are detained by ICE, helping them get back to their families. Check out their website at casasanjose.org. They do lots of great work. Follow the Diamante Trio with Lily by visiting the events page on chambersite.org. You can purchase our CD, No More Blues, there too. You'll find links for the show notes on thechalarondocast.com. As always, thanks for supporting live music. See you next time. Nada más se entrega.